On Wednesday night of this week, we gathered in this room and held our Ash Wednesday service. This service, as you know, it culminates with the ritual known as the imposition of ashes, in which a mixture of ashes and oil is used to inscribe the shape of a cross on each person's forehead. And then following the service, some people will just immediately wipe the ashes off their skin, and that's perfectly okay. I, on the other hand, I usually forget about the ashes until I get home and pass a mirror. On Wednesday, following our service, I was back in my office at my desk getting things together when a young man on our cleaning crew came in to empty the trash. I see him once or twice a week, and we always chat for a moment. But this time, he walked in, looked at me, and said, "Nice tattoo." And I honestly didn't know what he was talking about, and I looked at him and I go, "What tattoo?" And he pointed at his forehead, and then he pointed at mine. And it hit me that he was referring to that cross on my face. I had forgotten about it. So I laughed and I explained that we had just held our Ash Wednesday service, and he left the room. Then, about 5 minutes later, he sticks his head back into my office and confesses that, well, he didn't know what that cross on my head meant, so he went and asked his mother, and she explained it to him. Our cleaning crew is a family business. The young man then had come back to me to apologize. He said he didn't mean to be disrespectful. And I tried to assure him, and I don't think I was very successful, that no, I was not offended in any way by what he had said. And I thought it was pretty funny, really. But it got me to thinking, maybe that Ash Wednesday cross should be a tattoo, an emblem inked permanently onto our foreheads. The cross of ashes is an ancient ritual marking the start of the season of Lent, our 40-day journey leading us toward Easter. And Lent is a time of penance, a time to prepare the faithful for the celebration of Christ's resurrection and his triumph over death. Ashes symbolize death. Something that has burned has died. It's lost its form. It has ceased to exist. And throughout Scripture, ashes are symbols of grief. Job famously sits in ashes as a sign of his grieving before God. The cross of ashes that we impose on Ash Wednesday, well, these are meant to represent our sin and our mortality. The cross of ashes is a visible confession that we are sinners, as well as a reminder that in time, yes, we shall die. We receive this mark at the beginning of Lent to signify our Easter destination, which is a journey from ash to resurrection. We smudge our faces with the dirt and the grime of the ashes, and we pray that by the end of the journey, we shall be made clean. As we read in Psalm 51, the psalmist, after confessing their sins, they plead to God, "Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." We want to clean the sins of our hearts, and that is something only God can do. So, instead of just that temporary ash, a cross of ashes, something that's easily wiped off, why not get a tattoo, a permanent reminder of our sin and mortality. It would be there every time we look in the mirror. It would be a sign to the world of the journey that we have embarked upon. As part of our Lenten journey this year, I will be preaching a series of sermons on a set of psalms that are categorized as Psalms of Lament. Now, Psalms of Lament are numerous and common and found throughout Scripture, not just in the Psalter, but in other books as well. There are Psalms of individual lament. There are Psalms of national lament. There are Psalms from those who suffer an illness, those who feel tormented. And we will look at a sampling of these. A psalm of lament is a song or a poem in which the psalmist cries to God for deliverance from what is afflicting them. It is a cry for God's attention. It's an appeal to God's compassion to intervene in a desperate situation. These cries to God, they don't come from whiners or perpetual complainers. They come from people who are in desperate situations and who believe that God can lift them up out of the pit they have fallen into. At their root, these Psalms of Lament are expressions of praise. They show the confidence in God's power and willingness to intercede in our lives. A psalm of lament, it doesn't just cry out, "My life's in shambles," and leave it at that. No, these psalms always end with the belief that the person's cry will be acknowledged by God. So today I invite you to join with me in looking at Psalm 102. This psalm is an individual lament. It is rather general in nature, and it describes a person suffering from an unspecified illness, but it is powerful. Psalm 102 begins with a plea to God for help. "Hear my prayer, O Lord. Let my cry come to you. Do not hide your face from me in the day of my distress. Incline your ear to me. Answer me speedily in the day when I call." The psalmist asks God to hear them and not to hide from them. And then, after the cry is made, the psalmist offers their lament of the physical and emotional distress that they are enduring. And the language we find here is descriptive, but also poetic. The psalmist feels that they are at the edge of death, that their life is drifting away like smoke, and their bones burn like a furnace. This burning suggests a fever. And because of this fever, their heart withers like the grass. And indeed, if their body is racked with a fever, then they would feel like the grass that withers under the scorching sun. The psalmist is grass, and they are now too wasted or wilted to even eat. And they are nothing but skin and bone. They also describe themselves as being like an owl. Now, while our viewpoint of owls is positive, they sit in trees and go, "whoo, whoo," the Jews of that day viewed owls as being unclean animals. So it is a cry of further distress by the psalmist to say, "I am like an owl of the wilderness, like a little owl of the wasteland." This person sees themselves as an unclean creature existing beyond the margins aspects of society. In addition to their physical suffering, this person also feels the abuse that is directed at them from other people, probably and sadly, because of their illness. All day long, my enemies taunt me. They use my name for a curse. Because of their suffering, the psalmist writes that they eat ash. They eat ash as if it were bread, and their tears mingle with what they drink. They feel that God has discarded them and that their days are coming to an end. My days are like an evening shadow. Now, well, that sounds nice, an evening shadow. But think about a shadow in the evening. Shadows need light. And at the end of the day, when the sun sets, and these people didn't have nice electric lights, when the sun sets, shadows disappear. And the psalmist feels that because of their illness, because of their condition, their life is an evening shadow, stretching out thinner and thinner to be consumed and lost in the darkness. Now, the next section of this psalm, which I did not read this morning, it comes in verses 12 through 22 and offers an abrupt change in the tone of the psalm. And in this section, we find uplifting praises to God. And I believe the purpose of this section of the psalm is to place the poet's lament into context. We are shown just how low the psalmist feels, but then that's compared to the height of God's grandeur, and we are made to feel the distance between these two. And then at the end of the psalm, we come back to the lament with the accusation that God has shortened my days. God has stopped his life too early. But psalms of lament, they don't end there. As I said, they contain ascriptions of praise to God, recognition of God's mercy and power. And in this psalm, the psalmist concludes with a confession of God's role in the great universe, that God indeed laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of God's hands. The heavens and the earth, however, they will eventually perish and disappear. But God will always endure. Creation, he says, creation's like clothing that wears out. But God never changes. God never wears out. And then the psalm concludes with the acknowledgement that God's children, God's people, will always live securely, and their children shall as well. Psalm 102 focuses on the despair of this one individual, but in the end, it recognizes that God watches over all creation. One person may die, but the people are secure in God's arms. A psalm like this would have been part of a worship liturgy, possibly used in the temple. And it would have provided the sick and the suffering with the opportunity to come to worship and give them a voice. Hear my prayer, O Lord, let my cry come to you. Finally, after giving it more thought, I have decided that for theological reasons, having a permanent tattoo on your forehead, even if it's a tattoo of a cross, is probably not such a great idea. Because the purpose of Lent is to take us on a journey of change. We enter into Lent as sinners, and we hope to exit with the joy of resurrection. And we may be sinners from birth to death. Lent may be our entire lives. We may suffer from illness or injury. We may feel that we are wasted down to skin and bones, but we are also assured that God is with us. God hears our cries. God watches over this creation. And one day, we shall inhabit God's kingdom. And on that day, we don't need any mark of our sin or our mortality, because on that day, we shall be washed clean. Amen.